What's going on, everybody? Happy Thirsty Thursday. Welcome to another edition here of Mean Streets, powered by FTN Bet, presented by So Rare, live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also coming your way on Game Plus Network. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic morning. Always appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out with me today. I have a great guest, Griff Dog. Met him a couple years ago at the Mayo Media Network. We were always chopping it up, doing some hockey plays and picks. Of course, you are very familiar with his work over at FTNDaily.com as well. Still running free trials over at FTNDaily.com and FTNBets.com. Three free day trials on both of our websites. Griff takes care of all the NHL fans over at FTN on the weekend and always active in the Discord channel. Really looking forward to chopping it up with him. It's been a long time since we've been able to do it. I know we keep in touch on the side, but I am super thrilled to talk some hockey with him today. A 12-game slate in the NHL. Of course, Dengel Batselli already recorded on our FTN Network YouTube page, coming your way on Game Plus Network as well. Myself and Eric Young rolled through all 12 games, called some points. We had an eight. Eric always has like 1,000 goal scorers. He's got an eight-leg maniac parlay, which I believe he went 7-for-8 the other day, so pretty close to being perfect with those eight-leg parlays. I had like an eight-leg point parlay that I kind of liked. We had some fun on the show. We called some props, some shot props, some goal scorers. Griff and I are going to do the same. We're going to walk through some of the matchups that we like tonight from a betting angle, a little fantasy hockey's spin in there as well. We do have some DFS plays for you, teams that we're going to attack, some lines that we're going to target, and I'm looking forward to that. He is hanging by. We're also going to take a look at some Stanley Cup odds as well. You know, at the start of the season, we really talked about the LA Kings on this show. I think we have them, I believe it's July. End of July, maybe August, a Stanley Cup future on them, I think at 45-1, like a little half unit. I think they're still hanging around. I think I saw 28-1 over at FanDuel for the LA Kings. Been really impressed with what I've seen from them. I think the West is a little bit more wide open. LA's playing really good hockey right now. Vegas playing really good hockey. The Oilers, like those three teams, I think they've all have wins in 8 of their last 10 games. So they're playing really good. And LA could get the Oilers again. And that was a really good series last year in the first round. I believe it went 7 games. But LA over the last 2 months, really, 5-5 per 60 numbers are spot on. They've allowed the fewest shots, the third fewest goals against at 5-5 per 60. They're near the top and generating scoring chances. You know, they do have three lines that can come at you in waves. I'm still a little iffy about their goaltending. I don't love their defense, but, you know, Anze Kopitar and Philip Deneau are a really good 1-2 punch. Defensively, those guys can bring it as well. Deneau's had some success in the playoffs, shutting down really good players just a couple years removed from that Habs squad going, you know, almost the distance, getting to the finals. And Deneau doing a great job against, you know, the Jets and the Leafs, of course, holding Matthews and Marner to just one goal and really shutting down Kyle Connor and having some success against Pacioretty and Mark Stone. I don't think those guys really, I think they had like one goal as well combined in that 6-game series. So really strong defensive forwards, and Kevin Fiala added, you know, a little bit of offensive firepower. So if he's healthy getting into the playoffs, maybe he can get them over the hump. Maybe they learned a thing or two about playing the Oilers. It would be a really, really good series. But we'll talk some Stanley Cup futures with Griff and see who he's feeling. I know his Pens a big W last night in Colorado, and I believe I saw that he was there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I know he watches a lot of live hockey. Who doesn't? It's fantastic. It's the best sporting event to watch live, right? There's no question about it. Come on. And they do have a matchup, the Penguins, that is, against the Dallas Stars. So it is turned into a three-team race, really, in my opinion, to hold down those two wild card spots. The Islanders are playing really good hockey as well lately, and a lot of teams have caught up to them in terms of games in hand. And that was the biggest thing about a month ago. You know, teams like the Sabres and the Panthers, and, you know, the Panthers are right there. They're part of the three-team race, I think, with the Penguins and the Islanders. But teams like Detroit and Ottawa and Buffalo have really cooled off, not getting the goaltending, and they did have games in hand, but they didn't really win those games in hand. So a lot to get to with Griff Dog. We're going to break down the 12-game slate in the NHL. Yesterday was pretty good. I know our guy Quan had some success. Let's do that hockey. I did retweet his tweet yesterday. And Quan, I think he had Nathan McKinnon overshots, Connor McDavid overshots. I think he got involved with Clayton Keller. We also had Letang on the show, and we had Barrett Hayton for a point. He extended his point streak to nine games, and he has 14 points over that span. He has been a top 15 fantasy hockey player over the last month of the season. We have you covered if you're in the fantasy hockey playoffs. Maybe next week is your semifinal or your final matchup. We do have a free article over at ftnfantasy.com breaking down next week. There's 16 teams playing four games, but you really want to attack those lighter nights, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Look at your, I'd say Sunday night, Monday. Look at your week. See who's not going to get in your starting lineup on a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Cut those guys for like lower end guys, but guys that are going to play on the off nights so you can get the most out of your moves. And Barrett Hayton's one of those guys. Arizona does have a pretty decent schedule next week. And like I said, he's been really, really good. And how about Clayton Keller? Yeah, we got the shots. He had a couple goals last night. I took a look at 5-5 numbers since February 1st. It is not McDavid who leads the NHL in 5-5 points. He did score goal number 59 and 60 last night. Fantastic. I think he can push to 70 people. But it is Clayton Keller. Clayton Keller, 24 points at 5-5, leads the way in the NHL. And inside the top five, really good company, of course, right? McDavid is there. I do believe Matthew Tkachuk is there. And Nathan McKinnon is there as well. But Clayton Keller leading the way. Really underrated hockey player. Oh, it was Draisaitl. Clint's like, Draisaitl was in on Leon as well. Beautiful game from him. Four apples set up McDavid there a couple times to get it done. So a lot to get to here on this show. I got some NHL picks and props towards the end, but it will be a heavy NHL show and sprinkling in a little baseball. We're a week away from opening day in Major League Baseball. Tomorrow, I'm going to have sleepers, busts, targets for you guys, for people who have a weekend draft. Today, we're going to look at rounds 9 and 10 of NFBC high stakes leagues, taking a look at the ADP in those rounds, basically from pick 80 to 100 and actually in around 110. There's some really good targets in around that range, so we'll talk about a few of those in just a little bit. Off the top, before we bring in Griff, I wanted to do a little football here. Elijah Moore traded from the New York Jets to the Cleveland Browns. I thought this was a really good buy low. We talk buy low and sell high all the time, you know, in dynasty and season long leagues and, you know, how it relates to fantasy, but the real life as well. This is a great buy low by the Cleveland Browns. Quan, do you have the logistics of the trade? I think it was the second. There you go. So look at this. Like, the Browns get Elijah Moore and a third round pick from the Jets for a second round pick. I don't know. Like, were the Packers interested at all in Elijah Moore? I know they're asking for the moon here. I guess they hold all the leverage, really. I mean, the Jets need a quarterback. What way did they go if they don't get Aaron Rodgers? Like, Zach Wilson is not good enough. They lost out on Jimmy G. They're not going to get Derek Carr. All these other backup quarterbacks have signed in different places. So what do the Jets do if they don't get Rodgers? The Packers are in a good spot, but I thought that they'd be interested personally in getting Elijah Moore. Nonetheless, the Jets now have back-to-back second-round picks, number 42 and 43. I would assume a Rodgers trade is coming, and I would bet one of those second round picks, or if not both of them, are going to be in the package here. But this is good. This is good from a dynasty standpoint, a change of scenery, new life for Elijah Moore. His rookie campaign, 11 games, 43 grabs, just over 500 yards, five touchdowns. You know, he looked like a great player. And last year, you know, he was limited to just 16 games, you know, missed a little bit of time. He was away from the team for a bit. There's some off-field stuff, right? But 37 grabs, 65 targets, only 446 yards, and just the one touchdown. So a down year for him, but you know, this is a guy that was picked in 2021 in the second round, pick number 34, a nice slot wide receiver. I really like what's going on here in Cleveland. I don't think this is going to be the old Browns team that just runs. I know Dearness Johnson's away from the team. Nick Chubb is fantastic, of course. I think he's the best pure runner in the game, but you got a good stability, you know, in the backfield with Nick Chubb. Deshaun Watson didn't look great, but he hadn't played in 2 years. I think he still has top 10 upside at the quarterback position. So you bring in Amari Cooper. Donovan Peoples-Jones is great. David Njoku's a great tight end. They're building something, I think, pretty solid on offense when it comes to Cleveland. And I think they're going to toss the ball a little bit more this year. They've always been a run-heavy team. At least they have been with Stefanski over the past couple of years. So I think that was a really good get. And I think owners that have Elijah Moore in dynasty leagues, I think you got to be happy. I know that I have him in a 16-team dynasty league, and I really did want to either see Rodgers go there, but he wasn't getting on the field really in two wide receiver sets. And I think, you know, there'll be some more three wide receiver sets in Cleveland with Watson. Certainly an upgrade at the quarterback position for Elijah Moore. Good get for sure. We're going to break and we're going to bring in Griff Dog. A lot of hockey talk here. You guys have any questions, hit us up. Even if you're watching the replay, you can always reach out to us and we will get back to you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here. Where is our guy, Griff Dog? Juan, not here just yet. Okay, we'll hang by and we'll wait for Griffin. He was just here before, and we got to get him in here and see if he's ready to go. We do have a game that we're going to talk about here is Pittsburgh and Dallas. I think I actually potentially hear him in the background.
Juan, yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah, let's go. Coming in red hot, looking great. Love the tee, love the hat. Love the Crosby picture in the background. Welcome in, dude. How are you, man?
I'm well. Yeah, all is well. It's crazy to think that we only got like 10 games left here in the regular season. Oh, we mentioned it earlier. We don't talk enough live on streams like this, like, so keep in touch behind the scenes. But a lot of hockey to talk here today, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, man. And your Penguins, a big W last night in Colorado. How about the Crosby goal, man? I was talking with Eric, and I know you've been following forever, but people that maybe are just getting into hockey, like our producer, Quan. Quan's been watching some hockey, so let's do that hockey. He's been doing some bets and things like that. Crosby's got, like, I mean, if you look at an Ovechkin curve, it's like this. And you look at a Drysdale, he's got that heel curve. It's super weird. That's why I don't think he did well in the skills, like the targets. He can't hit the targets. I mean, the guy can score 50 goals, but don't ask him to hit a target. Crosby's got that straight blade. That backhand goal last night, he's got a better backhand than a lot of players got a wrist shot, dude. Like, that was a phenomenal shot.
I was at the game, so I got to watch that live, actually, and it was, I hate to say vintage Crosby, because Crosby still does stuff that he used to do when he was in his 20s, like that backhand, for example, but I saw today it was 68 miles per hour, and if you don't watch hockey to understand how fast that is for a backhand, I haven't played in a few years here, but I don't even know if my wrist shot would be 70 miles an hour today.
Mine wouldn't. No, I hold on to the puck too long, and I don't let it go. You know, Crosby didn't have that straight blade when we were kids, and I know I told you the story when I was like 9 and he was 7. He had his own stick, a Sherwood Crosby on it. I had a Paul Coffey Sherwood. He had his own stick, and we were all amazed playing in a tournament in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. And he had like 8 points and what was like a 9-7 victory. He was the best player on the ice, 2-3 years younger than everybody.
Right.
And getting sticks in the groins, and people are all over him. But he had his own stick, but it wasn't straight blade like that. But, you know, when he came into the league, that's what he had. And, man, he's got a heck of a backhand. Let's start there with the Pens. Actually, who stood out to you last night? Any low-key standouts from the game last night between the
Pens? Yeah, so there were a few, not necessarily from something I guess I would approach from a DFS perspective or betting perspective, but two players really stuck out to me on the Penguin side of things last night. One was Jeff Carter. He's been pretty much invisible for most of this season, especially over the last few months here. He's even been scratched a few games. But last night he was matched up against that MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen line quite a bit and played fairly well. Obviously scored 2 goals, had 5 shots on net. So good to kind of see him throw the monkey off the back and get a little more confidence heading into this final stretch. And the other one was Pierre-Olivier Joseph. He was fantastic last night playing with Chris Letang. Marcus Pettersson just got hurt, and he's probably been the most consistent player on the back end for Pittsburgh all year long. So it was a big blow to lose him. But Joseph looked phenomenal last night. Just a lot of control when the puck was on a stick. He didn't panic. And he was matched up against that Mikko Mac line for the most part as well. And that's no easy task night in and night out.
MacKinnon is so fun to watch live, just electric speed. And nice to see the Nova Scotia connection last night between Crosby and MacKinnon, and Crosby getting the better hand. So, yeah, let's get into that game, Pittsburgh and Dallas. It has turned out to be a three-team race here, really, in the Eastern Conference. The Islanders have won 7 of 10. They have 82 points, 72 games played. The Pens, 80 points, 71 games played. And then the Panthers in action against the Leafs, the high goal total. We'll get to that game in a little bit. They have 79 points. The Capitals are going to get John Carlson back, but they only have 74 points. They're running out of time. They played 72 games, and they're 6 back of the Pens. So this is a bit of a tough spot, right? I mean, Dallas is a good team at home. The second half of a back-to-back, just played against Colorado. We got Jason Robertson on the board here. What do you make of this matchup? A couple guys that really stand out to you at all?
Yeah, so obviously you can look at that first line of Hintz, Pavelski, and Robertson. You could argue, you know, they're one of the best lines in hockey right now. And as much as I have interest in that here tonight, because it's well correlated, albeit on the number one power play, I also kind of look to this second line a little bit here, second or third line, if you will, between Wyatt Johnston and Jamie Benn. For starters, they're a lot more affordable on the DraftKings side of things and putting up some really good numbers here as of late. Johnston, a rookie, has started to find his game here as the season has progressed, sitting at $3,900 on DraftKings tonight. He is riding a five-game goal streak right now and has 7 goals in his last 10, putting up some really solid numbers. And Jamie Benn, I don't want to say it's kind of a comeback year because, you know, he had that, I think he won, was it the Hart a handful of years ago?
When he had like 87 points or something silly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But he's playing very well right now, too. Just taking a look at his last 10 games here, 6 goals, 11 assists, 17 points. And he's just played well at home in general this year. Played well on the road, too, for what it's worth. But that's kind of where I'm looking, because that first line, I suspect, will be a little more popular. That second line, you can get a little more contrarian with some nice upside, too.
Man, Wyatt Johnson's impressive. He really is. I joined Dmitry Filipovich on the PDO podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was all over him. Just really liked his 5-5 game driving offense. And Jamie Benn, you said it. He has had a bounce back season. It's been very surprising, in my opinion. He's had a great season. I really like where the Stars are at. I've kind of viewed them as a one-line team over the past couple years, but even bringing in Evgeny Dadonov, right, and Max Domi kind of gives them more stability up and down their lineup. Sagan expected back maybe this week. We call him Daddy, Dadonov on it's always changing the pronunciation of his name. I can never get it right either. So anyways, he's plus 110 over at PointsBet for a point. And, you know, with the Canadiens not playing with a lot of skilled players, 50 games, only had 18 points, 4 goals. Here with 12 games with the Stars, he's got 3 goals and 9 points. He's averaging a little bit more ice time, playing obviously with better players. So I think he's pretty sneaky as well, maybe to hit the score sheet or maybe a little DFS action. Your Pens get in? Think they find a way to get in the playoffs?
Man, it's the least confident I've been in years about a team before. Maybe that's a good thing because I'm usually overly confident when they enter the playoffs. But just watching, you know, these last 2 games, even against the Senators as well, they pretty much dominated that game. Sens goalie stood on his head. They had 47 shots on net, I believe. And they kind of carried that into last night as well. And it's really easy to get down on yourselves when you dominate a team and lose 2-1 like they did to Ottawa. So seeing them bounce back last night definitely gave me a little more optimism. Look, if I know McDavid has taken the reins of the best player in the world, but I certainly don't want to bet against 87 on the final stretch here. So yeah, between, like you said, it's those 3 teams. It's the Islanders, Florida, and Pittsburgh right now. So yeah, you know, if I had to pick, I'd say yes, but obviously a little bias there as well.
I think they get in. I think they get in from what you said, right? It's 87. I mean, the guy has been, he's still a freak. I know that it just came out yesterday. I think the NHL players voted on like the most complete player in the NHL, and Crosby led the way. I mean, Crosby, Barkov, I think McDavid may have been 3rd or 4th voted on. In my opinion, Yeah, that's right, Bergeron. He's still the guy, right? He's still the guy that he's getting a little bit older, but when, you know, if you want to pick one player to go on a run or in this own little world where you were a GM and you could pick anyone. I know people are going to go to McDavid for 1 year, but Crosby's still, I mean, so much pedigree, so much experience. I think he's going to find a way to get his team in there. I think the Panthers are going to be the team that's on the outside looking in. Is there a shot prop or two that you would like from the Pittsburgh side? One guy that I've noticed, man, Jason Zucker. Like, he's been shooting quite a bit, like 5 shots last night, only 2 against the Sens, but at least three. He went through a stretch there. Philly 4, 8 against the Rangers, 4 against the Habs, 4 against the Rangers, 3 against the Rangers again. They played a lot of hockey against the Rangers over the past, couple weeks. Is that a guy you would take a look at? Or maybe just like, you know what, maybe this is a tougher matchup on the road, second half of a back-to-back. I just noticed he's been on my radar, and the odds have been decent. Shot props are juiced these days, but that's one of the guys that you can get at a decent price.
Yeah, and I was actually just looking at him on DraftKings. He's even been a little juiced as well. Still sitting okay, though, at minus 130. I certainly wouldn't mind that. I liked Jason Robertson at minus 120 a little bit better. He's such a pure shooter, especially at home. And catching Pittsburgh on back-to-backs on the road, you know, they could probably catch them, you know, a little lackadaisical, maybe especially towards the end of that game. So I like Robertson there at minus 120 was something that really stuck out to me. But I certainly don't mind Zucker. Like you said there, he's just been on a tear here as of late, 38 shots on net over his past 10. And it's not just coming by, hey, this doesn't look like an outlier or anything. I mean, he's putting himself in front of the net. He's found his chemistry with Malkin, and it's very evident at this point in the season. So he's kind of just built off of that, played a couple more minutes each night. And looks like a menace on the ice with the way he's throwing his body around as well. Fun to watch.
12 hits in his last three games. He's been pretty good in the Bangers League. And last night, there's only two games, and somebody asked in our Discord about, I know you're in there too, asked like if there's any edges on Prize Picks. I'm like, not really. I like Jason Zucker over 2.5 hits. I don't even know if anyone played it, but he did get 3 hits. The one guy I want to ask you about is just, what have you seen from Brian Rust? Like, why has this year been so different for him compared to last year? I know he's still like 16 goals. He's probably going to get 20 goals, but I feel like he's been kind of disappointing. Is that fair?
Yeah, you're not off at all. They've kind of had to switch him and Rickard Rakell throughout the lineup, bouncing those two back and forth between the first and second line. And Rakell seems to be a little more of a utility player where you can bounce him around a little bit and he'll find that success. Whereas, you know, Rust looks good with Malkin at times, but then he just completely falls off. It's almost a confidence thing with him, it seems like. When he's back up with 87 and 59, he seems to play with a little more confidence, carry the puck a little bit more, and he scored that empty netter last night. Maybe that's exactly what you need to kind of just, you know, shake some things off. But I don't know. It's kind of been weird. He's kind of ridden that roller coaster. He goes on little mini streaks and he looks really good, and then he kind of falls off for 4 or 5 games. So just really hasn't been able to, you know, grab a hold of that confidence and stick with it.
Well, one thing I guess we can say, I mean, an 8.8 shooting percentage is the lowest mark that he's had since 2015, 16. It's been double digits, you know, the previous 6-7 seasons before that, and 27 goals, 22, 24. I mean, 16 isn't awful. You know, if he gets to 4 more, you know, he gets to that 20 mark. We'll see what he does down the stretch. But all right, we'll take a quick break. A lot of Penguins talk there, and I love it. But we got some more games to break down as well. The Bruins are in a fantastic spot. We have the Leafs and the Panthers, a goal total of 7. And I want to get your thoughts on some Stanley Cup futures as well. So we're going to take a quick break here. But Mean Streets, presented by So Rare, here on Game Plus Network. We'll be back after the break. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Chris Meany here with you. Griff Dog DFS in the house. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. Always taking care of the people on his YouTube channel as well, breaking down the NHL slate from a DFS standpoint, some props and some picks in there as well. You do a fantastic job, dude. Happy to talk some hockey here with you. You know, some people that are just maybe new to DFS, kind of getting involved with DFS, I think one thing you should always look at is lines, goal totals, team implied totals. Vegas, they know what's going on, man. They build huge buildings for a reason. And we have a goal total here between the Leafs and the Panthers of 7. And for the baseball fans out there, you know, I saw, you know, somebody had said this on Dangle Betts earlier this morning, that Florida games at home is like Coors Field games in Colorado with baseball high totals. There was 10 goals scored just last week between the Panthers and the Habs in the first period. It was 7-3, an NHL record, 10 goals there in the first. This is a game here where we have a goal total of 7. I wanted to talk to you about Carter Verhaeghe. I guess nobody was really buying into the 24 goals that he scored last season, 55 points in 78 games. This year, 36 goals and 64 points in 70 games. We did a lot of underdog best ball drafts, Eric and I, on this network, where he was available every single time in the final rounds. A really good player, a sneaky sniper, any interest in him tonight, any interest in this game? Because there's a lot of good players, but they're all pretty pricey.
Yeah, I mean, that entire second line of him and Tkachuk, especially those two, you can see that there's a lot of chemistry between those two. It sounds like Sam Bennett is going to be out here again tonight. So we'll see Ida Luustarainen play up in the middle there between those two. And for what it's worth, I kind of like that because he's so cheap on DraftKings at $3,800, gets time on that number two power play. Yeah, that second line is putting up some massive numbers, not just as of late, but really all year long. And Carter Verhaeghe being a part of that. He's ripping the puck too as well. 9 shots on net his last game. I think he had 4 in a matter of like 60 seconds at one point against the Flyers. So, you know, again, you know, you could look at some of these numbers and go, yeah, you know, to your point, kind of looking at Verhaeghe's numbers last year, is it an outlier? It certainly hasn't been. This guy has found his game in Florida and he's being very productive. So, yeah, a lot of interest in this game in general. Toronto, top two lines. I don't think you can go wrong. But I kind of got my eye on that second line for Florida, albeit they are expensive on DraftKings.
It's hard to tell anybody to bet an over 7, but would you be shocked if this is like a 5-4, 5-3 hockey game here tonight?
No, not at all. I wouldn't be shocked if it's, you know, there's 4 goals scored in the first period. It could certainly be that type of game. You know, and Florida's playing desperate too, you know, again, being that they are one of those teams that's on the bubble right now. You see teams like that take a little extra risks and just try to make some plays. So yeah, I like this game, you know, could be obviously high scoring, but just a lot of talent in this game as well. That's very intriguing.
I like Verhaeghe to find the back of the net. You mentioned the shots. I know it's a tougher spot against the Leafs, but man, they haven't been playing great 5-on-5 hockey lately. Over the last month, they're right around like the top 12 in allowing shots and shot attempts. And so, you know, and somebody said, oh, they're missing Ryan O'Reilly. He's like been there for a minute, guys. Like he's going to be great for them into the playoffs. Yep. And it's exactly the type of player that they really need. And I think he suits great on that third line. And you can move him up and down the lineup. Of course, we've seen that. Cal Yarncroke is interesting to me. You know, he's plus money for a point. He's plus 220 for an assist. Matthews is plus 100 for an assist. He's got a bunch of assists over his past few games. The goal total of 7. You know, he probably, you know, hits the score sheet. I know we all view him as a volume shooter and a goal scorer, but he can definitely pick up an assist in this game as well. Let's move over to what is a very lopsided affair between the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins. Man, the Bruins have just been dynamite all year long and so good on home ice. It is crazy, this team. They've hardly faced any adversity. There's a couple moments. I think they went through like a 3 or 4 game losing streak. And then, you know, they lost to Detroit and then they lost to Chicago. That was pretty shocking. But Jake DeBrusk is on this board because he's just been fantastic ever since he demanded a trade. And he's been, you know, up on that top line basically since that moment where he wanted out of Boston with Bergeron and with Brad Marchand. We've been riding point props with him. It's a little bit juiced today. I do like the 2.5 for him. Bergeron's plus 145 for an assist. Marchand has a history of eating up the Canadiens. He's minus 110 for an assist and a 2.9 probably in play as well. It'd probably be pretty chalky. I don't know. Even on a 12-game slate, maybe it won't be, but hard to ignore that top line right now.
Yeah, I agree. I had them on my video here today. And part of that reason, too, is, you know, we're getting them all in the $6,000 range. And again, it's relatively expensive to put all three in your lineup. But, you know, Marchand and Bergeron are guys who can typically float in the mid 7K range. So I kind of look at this as a discount. Great matchup at home, obviously, here against Montreal. And these three in particular, I kind of saw you talking about this in the Discord back when they were playing Chicago. I believe it was last week or the week before. I don't want to say they've kind of been up and down this year because their numbers look fine, but it almost hasn't been those 20, 30 night DraftKings performances as regular as we're accustomed to seeing. But you take a look at their last three games here, 5 goals, 13 assists, 18 points between the three, just absolutely dominating play. You know, all three up on the number one power play. So I love the correlation there. And Montreal is just not very good on the penalty kill, hitting at a 72% rate this year. So I'll take advantage of that. Yes, they'll likely be one of the more popular line stacks on this 12-game slate. But I always kind of look at these bigger slates too and go, you know, I'm not going to, I think it's super easy to get contrarian in NHL DFS to try and make your lineups unique. So if I love something, I'm not going to shy away from it. Maybe like I would if a Cooper Kupp is you know, 40% owned in a cash lineup, or, you know, that's different. So I kind of look at NHL a little bit different. Love that line. And I also love the call on DeBrusk over 2.5, sitting pretty nice right now at -125. So I take that too.
Yeah, the Cooper Cup thing's funny. All those times where he's like 40% owned, but you just knew he's going to score a touchdown. It's like you almost had to have him, right? And get different elsewhere. I agree. I think you lay that perfectly, you know, with strategy and certainly on a 12-game slate. And the reason I called him out was to get them going. Not that I have any say in that, but I kept putting in these, like, for those that have Bet365, you can do these same game parlay, and they're fantastic because you could do a same game points parlay. Like, for example, Marchand, DeBrusk, and Bergeron for a point place pays +210. Again, it correlates so well that, you know, these guys, if that line scores, most likely everybody is in on it. And so I've been doing that and putting it in the tracker, I think, for almost every Bruins game here, because Marchand at the start, when he came back, he was at 1.5 points, but he's just been at 1 point. And DeBrusk and Bergeron have been at 1 point forever. And putting those guys in and getting burned, like DeBrusk would get a point, but Bergeron wouldn't get the point. It's like, what is happening? Say that, had that comment, and then you just rattle off the numbers over the last few games. Yeah. They broke out, and they're, like you said, in a tough spot. You put it lightly, too, with the Habs PK, plus they're undisciplined and dirty. They take a lot of penalties, so the Bruins will have a lot of power plays tonight. Any other plays, any other things that you wanted to mention? I know you like the Capitals as well, right? It sounds like John Carlson potentially back today, but Dylan Strome's got a fun little revenge game, and he's been really sneaky good this year playing alongside Ovechkin.
Yeah, he really has been. Plus, he got the revenge narrative there a little bit as well, playing against his former team in Chicago, if you guys like to roll with that. John Carlson is expected to play tonight. A little shocking, but he came out the other day in an interview and basically said, look, basically nothing else can happen in my recovery process. All I want to do is play hockey. So that's what I love about the sport, man. Guy fractured his skull a handful of months ago, and the only thing he wants to do is get back on the ice. So, yeah, give me that first line, though, of Dylan Strome and Ovechkin in particular. You get that correlation on the number one power play. You know, Ovechkin had a hat trick against these guys last time. And Washington, you know, they'd have to go on a really good run here to try and make some noise to get that one of those wild card spots. But, you know, Ovi's got something else at the end of his tunnel. He's trying to chase that Gretzky record. So let him fire 5+ times on net here tonight. Be interesting to see how much Carlson plays and if he gets time on the number one power play. If we don't see him there, and I don't know why we wouldn't, Rasmus Sandin continues to be someone on my radar too on the blue line, sitting in the 4K range on DraftKings and playing massive minutes for these guys ever since he got traded over from Toronto.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I was at that game in Washington on St. Paddy's Day, and he really did stand out to me. I think the best player on the ice was Jordan Kyrou. I was really impressed with Jacob Vrana as well. Ovechkin kind of just, and we know this, he just kind of stands around out there on the 2 minutes. He just hangs out at the top of the circle. But he did have 6 or 7 shots, I think like 8 or 9 shot attempts. They're always there for him. He's +170 for 2 points. Wouldn't be shocked. You mentioned Strome. He's -130 for a point. I like that as well. And Sandin has been really, really good. Any goalies? What goalie would you target tonight on a big slate like this?
Yeah, if you're looking to stay safe, I don't think you can go wrong with Allmark or Swayman. I don't know if I've gotten confirmation on who's going to start, but for what it's worth, I really don't care. Both of them have been great. Yeah, Allmark is the Vezina lock at this point, in my opinion. If you're looking to save some money, that Joel Hofer has been very good for St. Louis in his first 3 starts. So I kind of like that playing against Detroit again, as well as Igor Shesterkin at $7,300. I know it's a tough matchup on the road against Carolina, but Shesty's looked kind of like the Shesterkin we watched most of last year over his last 5 games. Penguins fan, don't love it when you see that with New York right now. But, man, that's a team I wouldn't want to play in the playoffs, that's for sure.
And I like actually rostering a goalie against the Hurricanes because they just put a lot of pucks on net. Yeah, and I think that's something that I like. You always get that save bonus potentially in there as well. With a name like Hofer, future Hall of Famer, he was great in that game against the Capitals we saw. If you don't mind, maybe 2 more minutes. Hang out for 2 more minutes if we can break. I want to get your thoughts on the Stanley Cup board as well. Just want to keep the balance of the show. So one more break here, and we'll take a look at Stanley Cup odds with Griff. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. We're just a couple weeks away from the Stanley Cup playoffs. Man, it should be exciting. The East will be an absolute bloodbath. I think the West is completely wide open as well. These odds from FanDuel, Quan, if you can bring them up. Prop Shop's your friend to get the best possible odds. The Bruins have been favored for quite some time at plus 380. The Avs are 7-1. The Leafs are 9-1. I think the Leafs should be 9-1 to win four games, guys. Come on. Hurricanes plus 950. Devils at 10-1. You got the Rangers at 12-1. The Oilers and the Golden Knights at 13-1. The Lightning at 14-1. Definitely going through something over the past couple months. I was really shocked to see Cooper bench Kucherov, Point, and Stamkos for an entire period. I was talking about how good Point looked in that game. I think he had 2 goals and 7 shots, and then he didn't touch the ice at all in the third period. Cooper's done this before, sending messages to his guys. Stars at 15-1, Wild at 20-1. The Kings, talked about off the top of the show, at 27-1. The Jets are really going through something as well, 32-1. Your Pens at 36, the Panthers at 37. How about the Kraken at 40-1? And then the Islanders, I wanted to chuck in at 60-1, because they have played good goaltending. I don't view them, Griff, as a team that would actually really make some noise, but I wouldn't be shocked if they upset like a team like the Hurricanes, just because of how good Ilya Sorokin is. And we've seen multiple star goalies in this league steal a series or two and make a little bit of a run. But of course, they would need a healthy Barzal and I think Brock Nelson to kind of get it done. You could talk value on this board, but also just like to get your thoughts on who you really like as we're just a couple weeks away.
Yeah, start with the Islanders there for sure. They play such a boring game. And if you're a team that's playing against it, it can be draining to go up and kind of play that defensive style, you know, especially game after game. I don't mind that call. It's hard to see them making a full run just because I don't know if they have enough goal scoring depth to kind of get them there. But like you said, Sorokin is the real, the real deal. He is legit. And he could absolutely steal a series or two. That East is just such a beast in general. It's hard to look at the Bruins lineup and, you know, or see how they don't make it to the finals. They don't even have Taylor Hall right now. When they get him back, they're going to have him and Bertuzzi on their third line. That's a second line in for most clubs across the NHL. So, yeah, I see the Bruins likely facing the Rangers in the Eastern Conference. I see the Rangers beating the Devils in the first round, assuming they play. You kind of see Jack Hughes and some of these younger guys. I don't want to say falling off a little bit, but the season is wearing on them. Jack's never played more than, I believe, like 64, 65 games. And he got to go into the next season, the playoffs, which you and I both know is a lot more physical, a lot more fast-paced and intense. So, yeah, that's what I'm seeing here now. As scary as the Lightning can be in the playoffs, I haven't seen enough from them. So, yeah, give me the Bruins and Rangers out of the East. West is pretty wide open, but I kind of like the Kings and the Stars over there.
Yeah, I do too. I think we just said off the top and we were breaking down Dallas, you know, a little bit more stability up and down their lineup. Jake Ottinger almost single-handedly beat the Flames in the first round last year. Mm-hmm. We know how good that top line is. I got some players defensively that can play as well. And the Kings, I just think they're a scary team. I guess the goaltending would be the question mark for me. I would have liked to see them add more, at the deadline, for their blue line. But, having Fiala most of the time playing on the third line and Kopitar and Kempe and Arvidsson can bring it. Deneau, they got a lot of just really good players that play great 5-on-5 play. But, they may have to get the Oilers again, which would be tough. I agree on the Rangers, right? And the Devils thing, too. Like, they've had a nice season. Got some nice young players. I'm a big believer in, learn how to lose before you learn how to win. You can talk about it with the Penguins, playing the Red Wings there in those back-to-back seasons. And the Rangers went through it last year. They were just a goal away from beating the Lightning in the third round, and they've added some firepower. They've added 4 cups with the addition of Kane and Tarasenko, and, they got 3 lines that can bring it. How deep, you talked about the Bruins being deep, and I agree on Hall and Bertuzzi. But, how crazy is it that Mika Zibanejad's just playing on the second power play unit? You kidding me?
Yeah, barely getting any time there as well. I was actually looking at stuff. He's got such a ridiculous shot, too. But, very scary 1-2 punch that New York can roll out. And that, they call it the kid line. I don't love it because I always called Crosby Sid the kid growing up. And I'm not going to steal that nickname away from him. But, Filip Hedel has stepped into his own this year for New York. He's been fantastic. You know, Lafreniere and Kako, you know, there's room for growth with both for sure. You can clearly see that, but playing with more confidence too. So yeah, I mean, you look at the top three lines for the Bruins and Rangers, and there's just, you know, the Hurricanes losing Svechnikov and Pacioretty. It's really hard to see them get past that. The Devils, we just talked about it, just a little too much youth and inexperience there. But yeah, in the West, it's wide open.
It is.
I think the Avalanche could make a nice run, but that second center depth scares me a little bit. JT Compher's been fine, but he's certainly no Nazem Kadri like we saw last year. Kings deep, and then the Stars, especially getting Max Domi, they can kind of run three lines. You know, we talked about Johnston and Ben on the second, then you got Sagan and Domi who go on the third. I don't mind those three lines either, and Miro Heiskanen is very legit as well.
Yeah, he's a superstar. He really is. And Jake Oettinger is one of those goalies that I view as one of the better ones in the league, too, that can steal a round or two. There's no question. Dude, you're fantastic. I appreciate it. For the people north of the border, because Game Plus Network is in the Toronto area, is this the year the Leafs get it done? I know I took a shot at them. I like some of their moves. I like some of their moves. I think they're tougher to play against.
Yeah, especially with Ryan O'Reilly coming back to you, get that cup experience with him. He's a shutdown center that can match up against first line. So, and I don't know if they've had that necessarily in the past. Not, no slight at Matthews or Tavares, but those guys are out there to score goals and put up points. And O'Reilly can do that, but he can shut guys down too. And that's exactly what I think is kind of put them over the edge. I like the McCabe ad as well. I think that gives that blue line some depth too. So honestly, I actually quite like Toronto getting past the first round this year, especially if it does end up being Tampa. But I guess history has repeated itself for a few years here now. So I'm not going to get overly confident in any bets or anything like that with the Maple Leafs.
And I don't think anybody should, but I do believe this is the year that they win. Man, they've had a lot of bad luck too, right? They've lost a lot of those game sevens at home and maybe some of those series they probably should have won. But I do believe they're tougher to play against with O'Reilly, even Lafferty and Achari, right? It gives them some stability in the bottom six, some tougher guys to play against. So it should be fantastic. But my goodness, if they don't get it done this year, we really could see some massive, massive changes. I don't know what. But something's got to give. We'll see.
I appreciate it. Austin Matthews wouldn't mind going south from everything that I hear.
Yeah,
we'll see, though.
He may be. That's right. Griff Dog DFS. Check him out on Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube page. And check him out in our FTN Discord channel as well, coming at you with some weekend plays. We will say goodbye to Griff for now. Good luck on the ice, dude. Hopefully we can do this again as we get closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I got some more picks for you towards the end of the show. We're going to talk a couple fantasy baseball targets here next on Mean Streets. Cheers, Griff.
Thanks, Meanie.
Welcome back in. Thanks to Griff Dog. Really a super sharp hockey mind and just overall great dude. We're happy to have him over at FTN. Again, ftndaily.com/free to check out all the work. Projections, tools, it's all there for you. A 3-day trial. Okay, so round 9, NFBC high stakes leagues, past 3 weeks, taking a look at some draft data and where some of these players are going. Clay Holmes up at the top here, ADP of 97, Taylor Ward, Hunter Green. You got Jake McCarthy here, Luis Severino. Severino's a fade for me. I know he's got some, you know, some upside. I don't think he's having a great spring and some injury issues for him as well. I think Blake Snell, same sort of deal. Great second half, really nice bounce back season for him. Is a guy that I've faded before in the past. I don't really love the command, but the strikeouts are there. He definitely is a risky pitcher, but there is some upside. Like, he is a high ceiling to potentially finish as a top 20 pitcher. It just depends on how you want to shape your fantasy baseball team. I wouldn't be taking a lot of high risk guys, but he could make for a decent 3 or 4 in your rotation, depending on how you you construct your fantasy team. Christian Yelich there at the bottom. The guy that I want to talk about, honestly, I don't really talk up a lot of halos to be, I'm pretty hard on them. And I do like Hunter Green, by the way. I think, you know, the Reds pitcher that I would rather have is Nick Lodolo. But Hunter Green has a lot to offer, right? In his rookie season, he had 11.75 K per nine. He did struggle with the walks, 3.44 walks per nine. He had one of the highest fly ball rates in baseball at 48.5%, which led to a lot of bombs. He allowed 24 home runs. He's a guy that I did pick on in prop land at time from time. And, you know, don't love the ballpark that he plays in. They call it the Great Small American Ballpark there in Cincinnati. But, man, he does have strikeout stuff. He's going to improve as a pitcher. Command, the upside is certainly there for him, a 30% strikeout rate, but the 9% walk rate is certainly alarming. I think I would rather Nick Lodolo is going a little bit later on, but I do like Taylor Ward here. Ward was one of the better waiver wire pickups last year, 135 games. He had 23 homers. He had 5 stolen bases. He had a double-digit walk rate. He had a hit .281. He's probably more of a .260, .265 hitter, but, you know, hitting at the top of the order, and say what you want about the injuries, right? But just think about it. Ward up at the top of the order, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. They bring in Hunter Renfroe, Brennan Drury. They got some guys now, you know, Jared Walsh was dealing with an injury. They got some guys that can platoon. They got some depth as long as these guys can stay healthy. Anthony Rendon is having a fantastic spring, but of course he hasn't given the Halos a whole lot, but I really do like the target here. Taylor Ward, I think he's a great target at pick 101 on average. I think he can get combined 30 homers and stolen bases. I think he can creep up to 90 runs. And like I said, maybe a .260 average. Let's move over quickly to round 10. Of NFBC high stakes leagues. Take a look here at Bednar, closer there for Pittsburgh. Jeremy Peña, I think, is just a fantastic get. I'm surprised he's going this late. He's moving up now because Jose Altuve's got the hand injury. He's going to miss some time. I expect Peña to lead off for what is a very good Astros lineup, but this guy can do it all. I mean, won the ALCS MVP, the World Series MVP as a rookie, 22 bombs, 11 stolen bases, hit .253, doesn't really walk a whole lot. The strikeout rate is fine at 24%, but man, he is still just super young. We're not even close to scratching the surface on his upside. And you know, how old is he? He's 25 years old. He's not even like scratching the prime, right? The power years, I think he's got more power in him. I think he can get it to 25 bombs. I think he's going to steal double digit bags. More guys are going to steal bags this year with the base change. Logan Gilbert, I think, is a great get. Sean Murphy in two catcher leagues for the Braves, I think, is a good get. There's a lot of players here I like. Stephen Kwan, a great contact rate. He's a guy that I'd be interested in as well. Logan Webb, I think, is a better real life pitcher than a fantasy pitcher. I don't think the strikeouts will really be there for him. Nick Castellanos, I think, is a great get. I think the Phillies are going to have one of the best lineups. I think they're going to be one or two in runs scored this year. Really like what the Phillies have to offer. So a couple targets there for you tomorrow, some sleepers, breakouts, and all that good stuff as you prepare for your fantasy baseball drafts this weekend, just a week away. One more block here, a couple NHL picks, point props, and shot props next on Mean Streets. Let's do that hockey, Quan. Shot props, point props, wherever you want to start. Let's roll through it. Jared McCann, this is at Bet Rivers. Most books have him at 3.5. Prop Shop's your friend. I'm surprised to see this morning, -125 over at Bet Rivers. McCann has cleared this 2.5 number in 9 of his last 10 games. Jake DeBrusk is my guy. Man, this guy has just been really, really good. He's cleared in 4 of his last 5, 9 shots in his last 2 games. This guy has goals in 3 straight, 6 points over that span. A great matchup against the leaky Habs. Jacob Vrana, he's played 8 games with the Blues, got 5 goals, 6 points. 3-plus shots in 5 of his 8 games. 5 shots in his last matchup against Detroit. Also playing Detroit again tonight if you love that fun revenge narrative. But he's really averaging more ice time, over 2 more minutes per game with the Blues compared to the Red Wings. And Hartman's in a good spot as well. He's cleared in 5 of his last 7 games. He's got a matchup here against the Flyers. Let's switch over to points here before we get out of here. Just like great value for guys playing in top 6 roles in good spots. Kuzmenko, -125 against the leaky Sharks. Nito Niederreiter against the Ducks, worst team in the NHL, -128 for a point. Dylan Strome, fantastic alongside Ovechkin, revenge spot against Chicago Blackhawks. He's been great, -130 for a point. Brendan Hagel against the Senators, -120 for a point on the top line with point and Kucherov. Austin Matthews for an assist, got a bunch of apples over the last 2 weeks and playing in a game with a goal total of 7 against the Panthers. And Patrice Bergeron, +146 for an assist as well. But that top line, Bergeron, DeBrusk, and Marchand, +210 over at Bet365, all to hit the score sheet. Good luck on the ice. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers. We'll